Welcome, everyone, to the Ready for the Draft podcast. I'm your host, Greg Schutz. This is episode 23 of the 2025 podcast series, where we take a look at the draft-eligible prospects to get you ready for the NFL draft, and it is finally here. The 2025 NFL draft, April 24th, recording this in the morning of the draft. I'm super excited to release my final mock draft. We got to go ahead and jump right into it. I've got the first round. I haven't updated rounds 2 through 7 on the website, readyforthedraft.com, but my first round is absolutely there and ready for your consumption. Make sure that you tune in, take a look at rounds 2 through 7 as I continue to work through those. Really made some last minute changes to my first round mock. Really going to be able to update days 2 and 3 on the website later on. But we need to go ahead and jump into my final mock draft. Let's get into it. So the Tennessee Titans, we know they've been on the clock for quite some time. After the season's ended, Tennessee Titans absolutely going to be taking the quarterback Cam Ward here. I think there's no doubt about it. You know, Mike Bergonzi and Brian Callahan really have not targeted a quarterback at all this offseason. We know that Will Levis was really benched during the season in favor of Mason Rudolph, who's no longer on the roster. They really haven't done anything to address that position. Cam Ward, look, you know what he's done, especially with, you know, on third downs, really also willing that team to victory, bringing them back from the depths of defeat. That defense really did them a disservice, and Cam Ward really, you know, that Cal game they had no business winning, but they put it on the shoulders of Cam. Big thing with Cam Ward, he has to just make sure that he does not throw across his body late. Over the middle, that's going to be an interception every single time at the next level. We get to the Cleveland Browns, and I think this is a no-brainer. I think Travis Hunter is going to be the pick here. I think this is the guy that really he should be a corner. He's an elite corner. I think he wants to play receiver as well. You get him in there. You target him. Have him start with Denzel Burke. You've got Martin Emerson. Even if he plays receiver, I know Cleveland saw him as a receiver, then you could have him with Jerry Jeudy, and then ultimately he can play some packages there on defense with Martin Emerson potentially being the starter there. I really think corner is going to be that spot, though, with the Browns, and then be able to have some packages there at that wide receiver position as well. Then we get to the New York Giants at number 3. What are they going to do here? I think they do ultimately trade back into round 1 and target Jackson Dart as their quarterback instead of Shedeur Sanders. But at number 3, I think they go Abdul Carter, the edge rusher out of Penn State. This makes way too much sense. This is a guy explosive, 12.5 sacks, 23.5 tackles for loss, 61 total pressures, pass rush win rate of 22.9%. Think about the NASCAR package with Steve Spagnuolo as a defensive coordinator, right? With Michael Strahan and Justin Tuck, UC Umeniora. You know, this is a group that they, you know, that the Giants could be building that and building in that direction. When you think about Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau are already on the roster, then you bring in Abdul Carter. That's really going to be a formidable group of pass rushers there in the Big Apple. You get to number 4 and the New England Patriots. I think this has to be Will Campbell, right, out of LSU. 6'6", 320. I've seen some mocks picking Armon Membu. He's really a right tackle. We haven't seen him at left tackle. We don't know if he can make that transition. But Darian Lowe is a guy that, look, he's not going to cut it there at that left tackle position. Campbell would be that upgrade. 33-inch arms, measured at his pro day. I don't think that's going to be any issue. That measures the same as Rashawn Slater, who is a Pro Bowl tackle when healthy. But I think Campbell, just the athleticism and the physicality, the strength, I think he holds up at the left tackle spot. Mike Vrabel gets his left tackle. At number 5, this is really a change in philosophy here. I've got Ashton Jeanty going to the Jags. I've long mocked him going back to February, my first mock draft. Long mocked him to the Raiders. I felt like, you know, Marshawn Lynch clone, you know, Pete Carroll gets his guy, but I think in this case, James Gladstone, the new GM, Liam Cohen, an offensive-minded head coach, they're looking to provide an offensive weapon for Trevor Lawrence. Imagine teaming him with Ashton Jeanty. I don't think there's a receiver, you know, right here. You know, really, they targeted Brian Thomas Jr. a season ago. I think this is a pick where it makes a lot of sense to go ahead and get the running back. Look, Travis Etienne, after 2,000-yard seasons, really just was not the guy. He just didn't cut it this last season. Ultimately, it was, you know, Tank Bigsby and not Trevor Etienne that led the team in rushing. This was a team that finished 26th in the league on the ground. I think Ashton Jeanty ends up getting the nod here to the Jags at number 5 instead of Mason Graham. which means the Raiders at six, they have to pivot. You know, they missed out on a quarterback there at with six quarterbacks coming off the board at, you know, in the first 12 picks. They end up getting Brock Bowers at number 13. We know what happened there. I think the same could be said here with this draft. They could get the best player available in Armon Membu at right tackle. You pair him with Colton Miller. You really have those bookends protecting Geno Smith. This is a deep running back class. You could end up getting a guy like, you know, whether it's Travion Henderson or Quinshon Judkins, maybe even a Cam Scadaboo later on in the draft. Raiders get their offensive tackle, solidify that offensive line in front of Smith, and move forward from there. Jets, sitting there at number 7. This was a pick that I thought if Armon Membu was there, they'd take him. You've got right tackle, Morgan Moses, no longer on the roster, right? So you need that offensive tackle help. I just don't see the Jets pulling the trigger on Kelvin Banks, who largely was a left tackle. So I think here they pivot, and we know that, you know, Yahoo Sports reported that the Jets have multiple meetings with Tyler Warren. Obviously, Tyler Conklin is gone. This is not a very deep receiver draft. And so really at the top, you want to try to find someone else that you can team with Garrett Wilson. And look, Alan Lazard, Josh Reynolds, they're not going to cut it as that number two option. Tyler Conklin finished fourth on the team in receptions and yards a season ago. He's no longer there. You get a guy like Tyler Warren who, look, he dominated the competition. Just put on the game film against USC. 17 catches, 284 yards and a touchdown. You know, snap the ball to Drew Aller, then runs up the seam. High points a ball over Zion Branch. This guy can do it all. You know, he can catch it. He can run it. He can be a quarterback as well. You know, he was a high school quarterback, so he can throw it. 104 receptions, over 1,200 yards, and 8 touchdowns. I think he's the pick to the Jets. Looking at number 8 in Carolina, I've got Jalen Walker, you know, the edge slash linebacker there out of Georgia, and I think this is a nice pick. You know, you've got Jadeveon Clowney and DJ Wonum. They just combined for 9.5 sacks a season ago. Walker has the instincts, his ability to fly around and make plays. He's a violent tackler, and he's a guy that I think could take the place of Shaq Thompson as an off-ball linebacker and then get after the quarterback with Clowney and Wonum on passing downs. You get to the Saints at number 9, and I think this is really where, you know, does Kellen Moore decide to go with his quarterback and Shedeur Sanders? I don't know that they necessarily press the issue there. I think they can still go quarterback. They could go with a veteran, but I think they may be in win-now mode. I think really the issue is at that tackle spot. I've got Kelvin Banks Jr. out of Texas going to the Saints. That could allow Taliese Fuaga to move to his more natural position at right tackle. That's where he played with, you know, at Oregon State. Kelvin Banks, technician, one of the more consistent offensive tackles over the last couple of years in all of college football. And look, Trevor Penning is not the answer. You know, we know this. If anything, he has to move inside to guard. So you move Taliese Fuaga to right tackle. Kelvin Banks is your left tackle. You get those bookends, and then you can ultimately decide what you're going to do at quarterback, you know, especially with Derek Carr supposedly having a shoulder injury that could put his 2025 season in jeopardy. Bears sitting there at number 10. This is a pick that I was thinking maybe it would be a running back early on. Then I thought maybe it'd be Tyler Warren, the tight end there, because you're trying to find a complement for Ben Johnson's offense. What if Mason Graham is still sitting there on the board? Think about this, right? You've got Montez Sweat, you brought in Deo Dengbo, and then Grady Jarrett at defensive tackle. I think Mason Graham, if you pair him with Grady Jarrett, a couple of explosive defensive tackles looking to get up the field in a hurry, violent hands. Look, this guy was a champion wrestler at Servite High School, same high school as Tetero McMillan. And I think ultimately, if Mason Graham is on the board, he may be too good to pass up. That may be best player available at that point. I think Ryan Poles, you can't go wrong there. Could they go tackle? Sure. You know, Josh Simmons, I think, would be a bit of a reach. You've got Braxton Jones coming off of that fibula fracture. Ultimately, when I look at Braxton Jones, he was still one of the better pass protectors. I think you've solidified the interior of that line. This gives you a little bit of flexibility. This could be an edge rusher. This could be Mykael Williams. But look, ultimately, if Mason Graham is sitting there, I think the Bears go BPA. They end up selecting Mason Graham at number 10 overall. Now, number 11, the San Francisco 49ers, they would love to see Mason Graham fall to them because they have a huge hole at defensive tackle with, you know, Malik Collins, Javon Hargrave no longer on the roster. I think they could look at a tackle. you know, especially if Kelvin Banks is sitting there, because look, Colton McKivitz, 21 sacks given up in his 2 years as a starter, including 8 a season ago, that's just not going to cut it. You need to get somebody who can come in there and immediately be a replacement for him, and then eventually succeed Trent Williams. I just don't think that this is going to be a pick where you're going to be using that on Josh Simmons. Corner is a popular pick here. I don't see John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan pulling the trigger on Will Johnson with all the injury concerns. Jahdae Barron is a possibility, but I really like the fact that Walter Nolan is the guy that's moving up draft boards. I think that talent, his explosiveness, he's violent at the point of attack, very powerful hands, does a great job getting that offensive lineman off balance. Really excellent push-pull technique as well. You see him shooting gaps, getting penetration both against the run, and can collapse the pocket as a pass rusher. I really like this pick. 49ers get that defensive tackle the team with Nick Bosa. Then you get to the Dallas Cowboys sitting there at number 12 overall, and what do you do here? I just don't know if it's going to be an offensive lineman. For a minute I was thinking maybe with Nick Martin being out, maybe this is Tyler Booker. You've got that right tackle position. Terrence Steele hasn't worked out, hasn't really lived up to that contract that he signed. But I don't know that that's the right pick. Trevon Diggs tore an ACL back-to-back seasons, right? So that's a real concern. I had surgery in January. Maybe his availability is in question for the start of the season. Long-term health could potentially be a question. Deron Bland, 14 interceptions in the last 3 seasons. They did take a flyer on Kyra Elam, but corner feels like it could be the spot. Is Will Johnson, do you ultimately take him here? Jahdae Barron's another option, but I think they have to think about the some explosiveness in the receiving game, right? You lose Brandon Cooks, Jalen Tolbert, and Kevontae Turbin are not the answers there at the receiver spot as that number 2 option. CeeDee Lamb needs a running mate. Teteroa McMillan could absolutely be that guy. This guy is athletic. He has tremendous size, huge catch radius, strong hands, and makes the highlight reel catches, and you see the nuance to his route running ability. You see the separation at the top of the route, does a great job feeling coverage, adjusting his route accordingly. I think this would be a great pick for Dallas. 13, Miami, and this is a ESPN reported that the Dolphins could be looking to move on from Jalen Ramsey. If that's the case, this has to be a corner, right? The question really becomes, is it Jahdae Barron or is it Will Johnson? Offensive tackle could also be an option. They've got Patrick Paul on the roster. If they don't feel that he is going to be the successor for the retired Terron Armstead, then I think tackle could be a factor here if Kelvin Banks is available. I just don't see them taking Josh Simmons. So I think ultimately this is going to end up being the corner. And I think because, again, those injury concerns with Will Johnson, this ends up being Jahdae Barron, Texas's Swiss Army knife. Reminds you a lot of Brian Branch, can play really all along the back end of that defense. I think he'd be the guy that you bring in and really solidify that cornerback spot. You really need a playmaker if Jalen Ramsey's ultimately gone. Indy sitting there at number 14. Tight end spot. I think we've been penciling that in here forever. And this was a position that you have Kylan Granson, Mo Alley Cox. They finished 9th and 10th on the team in receptions. They're both now free agents. If Tyler Warren isn't on the board, then you get Colston Loveland. Some people think he's better than Tyler Warren. He's more of a compliment. When you look at Sam Laporta, I think if the Bears, with Tyler Warren off the board, Bears could consider Colston Loveland there. But I think Colts would love to get Colston Loveland. He's a dynamic pass catcher. Look, he had 56 receptions a season ago at Michigan, 29 more than the next highest total at Michigan. So when you think about that, this is a guy who is a dynamic pass catcher, but he's also an underrated blocker, would really help for Jonathan Taylor. He would be one of those guys. He'd fit in right well, very well with that receiving core, with Michael Pittman Jr., Josh Downs, Alec Pierce, all raked up at least 800 yards a season ago. I think you put him in there with that group, whether it's Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson, throwing the ball, I think he immediately becomes a favorite target. Atlanta, could they go linebacker and Jihad Campbell? That's always a possibility. I think this still has to be an edge rusher. They focus so much on the offense over the last 4 years, right? I mean, when you think about it, they took Kyle Pitts, Drake London, Bijan Robinson, and then Michael Penix Jr. Meanwhile, the edge rush position, virtually non-existent, right? The last two of the last 3 years, they finished at the bottom in sacks. Now, the last time they had a double-digit sacks guy, I think, was Vic Beasley. The last time they took an edge rusher in round one was Tack McKinley in 2017. I think they go and get the nation's leader in sacks, in Mike Green, 17 sacks overall. This is a guy who's dynamic. He's a pretty polished pass rusher and get to the quarterback in a variety of different ways. I think Atlanta gets their pass rusher there. Arizona at 16. This is an interesting pick. You know, I was trying to debate maybe they go corner. I think Will Johnson, they play a lot of zone. I think that can make some sense. But when I look at Matthew Golden, again, this is a receiver class that's really weak. You only get maybe two receivers, depending on what you count with Travis Hunter. Maybe that's three. But two full-time receivers coming off the board in round one. I think if you end up getting Matthew Golden, yes, you're drafting a receiver twice, back-to-back years, but you get Matthew Golden to team with Marvin Harrison Jr. and Michael Wilson. That really gives Kyler Murray a trio of receivers to get the football to, and really with Matthew Golden, this was a guy 4.29 40 at the combine, but the second half of the season he really emerged as the guy there at Texas at the receiver spot. I think that'd be a great fit for Arizona. Then you get to the Bengals. What's happening with Trey Hendrickson? 17.5 sacks. Even if he's, you know, the last two seasons, but he may be on the way out. The whole contract situation, he wants to stay in Cincy. Even if he's still there, they need another edge rusher. Mykel Williams out of Georgia makes sense. I think that ankle injury may have some concerns for some teams, but this is a guy, look, he's already proven that he can defend the run, and a guy, when he is healthy, you know, can play all over the line. He's played at defensive end, at defensive tackle, as a pass rusher, as a stand-up edge rusher. He's versatile. You can line him up in a number of different ways. He reminds me a lot of Trayvon Walker in that, you know what, he's not a polished pass rusher yet, but I think the traits send him up in the draft board. We've talked about him possibly going to the Saints, possibly to the Bears, at 9 or 10. Bengals get great value at 17. Seattle sitting there at number 18. This is a pick that could be a receiver. I think if Tedrone McMillan or Matthew Golden are on the board, yes, they brought in Cooper Kupp. Yes, they brought in Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Jackson Smith and Jigba is the only receiver left from a season ago with Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf gone. I think ultimately Seattle, though, if you've got Mike McDonald, your head coach, defensive-minded guy, he's looking at his defense. He's trying to fill in holes. They went with a defensive tackle a season ago. I think maybe they target a safety here. Nicky Mavwari out of South Carolina at 6'3", 220 pounds, ran a 4.38 40 at the combine, 43-inch vertical leap, but also had 88 tackles a season ago, 4 interceptions. He plays well in the box, also instinctive. You know, there was a play, I think it was against Kentucky, where he's covering a guy in the slot. I think it was a corner route, undercuts the route, just felt the route, undercuts it, then high points the football, picks the ball off, I think, in the end zone. Two of those 4 interceptions were also taken back to the house. Eman Wari would be a great pick there for Seattle to solidify the back end of that defense. Tampa, they would love to get Jihan Campbell here. Lavonte David signed to another 1-year deal. He's not going to be around forever. I think ultimately when you get a guy like Jihan Campbell, he's instinctive. He flies around, makes plays around the line of scrimmage. He can drop into coverage. He can rush the passer. I think the 49ers, you know, they lost Dre Greenlaw. This could be a guy that could fit in well with the 49ers. I think the Falcons at 15. If he's still on the board at 19, you can bet that Jason Light is making sure that he gets that card in immediately. This would be a great pick for them. Broncos at number 20, and ultimately I think this is going to be used on an offensive weapon. I think, you know, Bo Nix needs a running back. You know, look, Javonte Williams, you know, this is a guy that a season ago managed just 413 yards on the ground. Jaleel McLaughlin and Audric Estime, they teamed for 806 yards on the ground a season ago. Those are the only two running backs that are left. They need a guy that could be that RB1. I think that's going to be Omarion Hampton. Ran a 4.47 in the 40 at the combine. 6 foot, 221 pounds, 38-inch vertical leap, over 1,500 yards in each of the last two seasons, 30 touchdowns with 67 receptions as well. This is a guy, look, 4.35 yards After contact, 73 missed tackles, according to Pro Football Focus. Physical presence, I think he's a great fit for Sean Payton. Pittsburgh Steelers, do they go quarterback? Do they go Shedeur Sanders? I don't think they force the issue. We saw what happened the last time they forced the issue with a quarterback in a weak draft. Kenny Pickett did not work out. I think you target, if you're the Steelers, you target a player who can make an impact right away. Derek Harmon could be just that. When you think about Harmon, this guy had 5 sacks, 35 pressures, 11 tackles for loss. You put him with Keanu Benton, Cam Hayward on that defensive line, I think that really solidifies that group. Then you can start thinking about that quarterback spot and what you want to do there. But ultimately, Derek Harmon makes a lot of sense to me. The Chargers sitting there at 22. Could they go receiver? I think it'd be a reach for Mecca Ibuka at this point. If Colston Loveland were to fall to them, they would absolutely jump on that chance. Would Harbaugh potentially trade up for Colston Loveland? I think that's a possibility. But when you look at this defensive line, the three down linemen, you've got Deshaun Hand, you've got Tierre Tart at the nose, and then Otito Opanaya. I think ultimately you need to get a difference maker. Kenneth Grant could be that guy, 6'4", 331 pounds. He's a nose by trade, but he doesn't move like a nose tackle, and I think that's what Harbaugh is going to appreciate, what he knows about his former Michigan Wolverine, and I think ultimately he ends up taking him because he can line him up all over that defensive line, much like what we saw there at Michigan, and he can be a disruptive force for the Bolts. 23 overall, look, the Green Bay Packers, Brian Gutekunst, he's proven that he won't shy away from selecting a guy who is a boom or bust guy. And I look at Shamar Stewart as a guy that could be absolutely that. Not a whole lot of production, but we see the traits. We saw the explosiveness at the combine. We also saw his ability at the Senior Bowl to just dominate. I think Will Johnson, still being on the board right now, would also be a selection there for Green Bay, especially because what's happening with Jair Alexander. Even if Alexander stays in a Packer uniform, you need to have someone opposite him. So Will Johnson could also be the guy there. But I think the Vikings are sitting there at number 24 overall. And Will Johnson, if he's still on the board, I think there are those injury concerns which could send him down. They could end up getting a guy who at one, I think my first mock draft, I actually had him coming off the board in round in the top 10. Will Johnson, he's best in zone. He struggles in man, but if you allow him to keep those eyes on the quarterback, so instinctive, just triggers, heads downhill. His 2 pick sixes against Fresno State and USC this past season were really keeping an eye on the quarterback, triggering, undercutting the route, taking it to the house. Houston at 25. The offensive line, it was a mess for C.J. Stroud. Really saw some of that regression there as a result. But this is an offensive line. They brought in a lot of veterans. So you have Cam Robinson to, Laken Tomlinson. They brought in Trent Brown. They brought in Ed Ingram. All of these guys are on one-year deals. None of them may be on the roster past this season. So I think you look at a guy like Ray Zabel, who has that five-position versatility. He's this year's version of Graham Barton. So I think this would make a lot of sense, getting Graham Barton in there and then ultimately deciding, you know what, we'll line him up wherever we need him. But I think there's potential needs all across this offensive line. So Ray Zabel, I think, would get the nod over someone like Tyler Booker or even Josh Connerly or Josh Simmons. So that leaves us with the LA Rams. I think this is a position where we could see someone move up into round one. I already said that I think the Giants are going to trade back into round one to get Jackson Dart. I think the Browns will trade back into round one to get Shedeur Sanders. This could be a pick where that happens. I think the Rams will be okay with moving down. They need an inside linebacker desperately. The team with Omar Spates, who was a revelation there at the position as an undrafted free agent coming out of LSU. Carson Schwesinger is a name to watch out for. 6'2", 242 pounds, 39-inch vertical leap, and a three-cone drill at 7.05 seconds. Displays explosiveness, quickness. This is a guy that was a walk-on with the Bruins. I think he came in at like 210 pounds. Now he's at 242. 90 solo tackles, 136 total tackles, 9 tackles for loss, 4 sacks, couple of interceptions. He's athletic. He flies around to the football. 3-down linebacker for sure. I think that would make a lot of sense for the Rams. That's really the glaring hole, is right in the middle of that defense. Schweisinger could help really solidify that. Whether he's a round one guy, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that he goes off the board in round one, likely a round two. Rams would be a team that I think ultimately teams will be looking to trade up with, and so this could be a pick that ultimately the Rams use in round number two. Ravens at 27. One name that we haven't heard yet is Malachi Starks. I think this would be a great pick for the Ravens. We know that Marcus Williams just did not work out at the safety spot. Our Darius Stewart is there. But I think you get someone to challenge him for a starting spot next to Kyle Hamilton. And Malachi Starks is versatile. He can play a lot of different roles. Excellent as a slot corner as well. So I think that'd be a great pick for the Baltimore Ravens. Detroit, they need edge rush help. I mean, come on. You know, this was a group. Aiden Hutchinson ended up, you know, with that freakish leg injury. 5 games into the season, still led the team with 7.5 sacks. Then they trade for Za'Darius Smith, who's no longer on the roster. He ended up second on the team in sacks with 4 sacks, despite only playing in 8 games. You know, and just all the different injuries. We've seen a lot of issues. You know, Marcus Davenport is brought back. Signed to just a 1-year deal, and then Josh Pascal hasn't been all that productive for them. James Pierce Jr. is a guy that I look at for this team. You know, in 2024, a lot of people were talking about the sack total went down from 10 to 7.5, but he actually had 59 total pressures, which were 6 more than the 2023 season. Ran a 4.47 40 at the combine. First 3 steps are so dynamic. Quick hands to attack the offensive tackle's hands as well. Uses his length to keep the blockers at bay, but then he also sets a really hard edge on. You know, even you know, when you look at the frame at 6'5", 243 pounds, he plays the run a lot better than people give him credit for. I think the Commanders, that's another team that needs an edge rusher, right? You know, you've got a lot of guys on that roster. Dante Fowler led the team in sacks with 10.5. He went to Dallas. Jacob Martin, Dietrich Wise, they were signed to provide depth. You've got Dorrance Armstrong, you've got Cleveland Furl. They just combined for 8.5 sacks. You need someone who can get after the quarterback consistently. Donovan Ezeraku, 6'2", 247 pounds, 16.5 sacks a year ago. Second in the FBS. I think one game, I think I saw, 3.5 sacks and 17 pressures in one game. I think that was his final game there for Boston College. This guy is intelligent, 25.8% pass rush weight, according to Pro Football Focus. He's got incredible flexibility. He's got 34-inch arms, so even though he's undersized, he uses those long levers to his advantage. Very high football IQ. I like Ezeraku to the Commanders. Bill's sitting there at number 30. They brought in Dane Jackson at that cornerback position. Christian Benford also on the roster. Rasul Douglas is gone. I think ultimately they need someone to challenge Dane Jackson for that starting spot. Maxwell Hairston out of Kentucky, 5'11", 183 pounds. Makes a lot of sense. Ran that 4.28 40 at the combine. He's a sticky corner. Great instincts, excellent ball skills. I think that'd be a great pick for the Bills. At 31, Josh Simmons, 6'5", 317 pounds. Look, I know that KC signed Jalen Moore. He's more of a swing tackle. He's not going to be a starter. You know, you saw what happened when they had to move a guard out to the tackle spot. Joe Tooney just got abused by the Eagles. Josh Sweat, you know, himself had 2.5 sacks. I think you need to get that left tackle position shored up for Patrick Mahomes. So I think KC ends up targeting Josh Simmons if he's still on the board there at 31. And then number 32 overall, the Philadelphia Eagles, they can really sit back and watch the board play out. They can get the best player along the defensive line that can fall to them. I think Walter Nolan would be a great fit for them because Milton Williams no longer on the roster. I think ultimately, though, they end up targeting an edge rusher. Josh Sweat is gone. Brandon Graham is gone. Really, it's Jalix Hunt, and it's Nolan Smith. So James Pierce Jr. could be an option. Donovan Ezeraku could be an option. I think ultimately, though, this is going to end up being Nick Squirt out of Texas A&M. You know, 6'3", 257. Was a double-digit sack guy at Purdue. Ultimately ended up, I think he was at 280 at Texas A&M, and that was a team that really focused on the run. They didn't really allow Squirtin or Shamar Stewart to pin their ears back and get after the quarterback. So I think that's why you saw some of the production drop. He weighed in at 257 at the combine, looked a lot more explosive. And so I think this would be a guy that you could bring in, and he could push for playing time early, potentially even push Hunt for that starting spot. So those are my picks there in round number one. Again, my mock draft does not consider any trades whatsoever. But I do feel like the Giants will trade back into round one to target Jackson Dart. I think the Cleveland Browns will trade back into round one to get you or Sanders. The question is where. So I tried to factor that in a bit with a couple of these teams that could potentially trade with them. Because look, they've got picks at the top of round number two. So if the Bills at 30 potentially trade out of round one, I think Maxwell Hairston could still be that option there in round two. I think the same thing with the Rams and Carson Schwechter. So I think that there's some fluidity there, but I think ultimately you are going to see three quarterbacks taken in round one. There's also a possibility that the Giants and Browns end up targeting Dart and Shedeur Sanders at the top of round number two. You know, there's a possibility we could have only one quarterback taken. So I think that's really part of the fun of it, you know, really what's going to happen. You know, I think the top of the draft feels to be set, at least through the first four picks. But yeah, we'll be on quarterback watch with both Sanders and Dart. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot of fun. Green Bay, looking forward to seeing that. You know, the draft right there at Lambeau Field, it's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you're as excited as I am. The countdown is on. It's almost here. Let's get after it. So let's go ahead and put a close to the podcast at this point. For ReadyForTheDraft.com, this has been a Ready for the Draft podcast. I've been your host, Greg Schutz. Take care, everyone. Enjoy the first night of the draft. And until next time, I am out of here.